Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of Doomed Prophecy. I'm here with Brett.
I'm a field reporter this week.
Yeah, Brett the field reporter. So you're like Clark Kent, right? That's the universe we're living in.
Are we allowed to make that reference?
I don't think we're not allowed to make that reference.
Wouldn't it be Peter Parker?
I know, that was the point.
Oh, all right. Whoosh.
You got to remember, the original MCP cast that I was on used the Batman theme song as the theme music because we were being cheeky. Anyway, how's it going, everybody? We've got... Oh, gosh, I just did a Chandler. We've got a little bit of news. That was 100% a Chandler. By the time you listen to this, Winter Soldier... Well, all this stuff's already out, so you should be able to get the... Not Winter Soldier, what am I talking about? Howling Commandos and... Yep. Human Torch and Captain America, the old version, and Strucker and what's-his-face, the guy with the computer, Jezzola. Yes, those should all be out. And then shortly thereafter, you should be able to buy Sentinels and Red Skull 2.
Yeah, those are October.
Yeah, but this is coming out on probably... This is probably coming out on the 30th of September.
Fair enough. So, yeah, very soon.
Very soon. Yeah, so that's very exciting. Those models all look sick. I am actually really, really excited about Red Skull, which is annoying because I try not to get excited about things that are coming out in the future. But basically somebody was like, what if you had Corvus and Proxima and it was just one roster slot? And I was like, crap, I'm in.
And also 3 points cheaper.
Yes. So... Big excite about all of that. And then we don't actually know what's happening for the rest of the year at all, do we?
Pyro and Toad. Not Toad. Pyro.
Blob.
Blob.
Okay, so that's happening sometime before the end of the year?
Yeah. They said they showed everything that's coming out until the end of this year at the mini extravaganza.
Okay. So Pyro and Toad. Cool. Should be good. And then they'll probably take December off like they usually do, if I had to guess, which will be kind of nice, because maybe I'll have a chance to catch up over winter break. Maybe. Maybe. No, I won't. Maybe. But yeah. I'll be playing too much Commander with my brother. Anyway.
It's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. What are we talking about today, Brett?
We are talking about Sentinels again.
So, yeah.
I've been proxying them without their tax cards. Just playing a bunch of games with them, and I've been having a ton of fun with them, actually.
Which you were very surprised about, if I recall correctly. You were like, this is weird, I really like these.
Yeah, they're... Okay, so... The problem is, I don't think I've ever read a comic with Sentinels in it. Someone's like, look at these cool variant Sentinels. I'm like... Aren't those what just the normal ones look like? I just am very unfamiliar with them. So I was not expecting a faction that was like... Or an affiliation that was like Web Warriors on steroids.
I mean, yeah, that sounds about right. They're not really out there to kill things. They're there to go contain stuff, usually.
Yeah, they catch mutants, I guess.
Yeah, they catch mutants, and they... I mean, there are some variants that do go kill mutants, but... These ones, I believe, are not that. Although, I will say, there are conspiracies happening in our Discord to get somebody to make alternative head options for House of M Sentinels, which would be very cool. So, I hope that pans 100%. Out.
I've been using Brotherhood tokens for their affiliation tokens.
Yeah, which is funny, because it's like the exact opposite of what they would, but... Anyhow.
Purple heads, whatever. I would like to report one more thing before we start talking about Sentinels.
Mm-hmm.
So I played the original Human Torch, and he's fine. I lost all the games I played. I lost one of the games I played him in, but I think there's something there. I think that there's a place where he sees play.
Okay.
Fury Senior, on the other hand, is ridiculous. So in Shield, yes, you set up this little core of Fury Junior, Fury Senior, and Winter Soldier. And it's like, well, anything that gets within range 4 of this group is just gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, I set them up on an Infinity Formula, and Scourge and Valkyrie took the other Infinity Formula, and then they both died before they activated. Like,
gross.
And it's worse because the rule I always say is you have to kill Fury's grunts.
Right.
Because they just do so much damage. Well, if you do that, then you get two got your backs. It's like you left them alive in the first place. It's
so crazy. Well, and the does Fury Senior's got your back have rapid fire on it too?
No.
Okay, so it's just Bucky that goes absolutely berserk.
Right. Yeah. You do get half the power you spent back.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, so he's more consistent at putting out a bunch of got your backs.
Yeah. I also got to play with Bucky for the first time last week. I've played against him quite a bit now since the update, but I finally got to play with him for the first time, and he had two hammers and just proceeded to daze a full health Juggernaut and a full health Scarlet Witch in one activation. And then he got dazed back, which is fair play. And then he stood back up two rounds later and dazed or knocked out Juggernaut, picked up the hammers Juggernaut was holding, which was 3 by this point, and proceeded to also knock out a full health injured side Magneto.
My God.
So, you know, that model is silly.
Yes, he's also an extremely important Sentinel.
I believe it. All right. Well, nice segue. Let's talk about what you played, I guess. Like, what was in your rosters for these games?
So I started with the 3 Sentinels. So
Prime
and the 2 Mark IVs.
Mm-hmm.
I also included Bucky because because I wasn't willing to play Cassandra Nova.
Don't own her. Sure.
Which is weird because I'm proxying everything else, but whatever. I draw the line there. and then, so you need Bucky so that you can do Prime Normal Bucky, and that's 12 points, and then you can put in Bullseye to bring it up to 14.
Okay. And still play 4 wide at 14. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. Otherwise you can't do a clean 14.
Right. Fair enough. Man, if they ever introduce a single threat... If they ever introduce single threat, that's going to be like field day on list construction suddenly.
Yeah, you can't do it. So I guess you could do a 5 threat. So my roster right now is extremely 3 threat dense, which is very funny because I'm planning on playing a 5, a 4, and a 4
right
as my core. So I want everything else to be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at Sentinels, I'm like, they're immune to bleed, and they have a ton of HP, so Hood went in the list.
Right. Oh, yeah, like, he's a no-brainer, right? His heal inflicts bleed, and they're like, whatever, bro.
Mm-hmm. And he's also a Mystic Attack, which is the only thing that the Sentinels don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are immune to poison. Oops, played that wrong.
I believe most robots are.
Yeah, they should be. So, and then when I'm... So, okay, so... That's really the core list. Those are the models I played the most. And when I'm thinking about playing the list, you're like, okay, so you look at these Sentinels and you're like, these models are super slow and they have no like extra actions. They have no charge. They have no free movement whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
What they do have is the ability to stand at a point and basically never get moved off of it. Like,
right.
You can almost count on one hand the things that can move them.
So Doctor Strange, one can with his regular attack.
It does damage.
Yep, And then you've got Thanos' throw, Thor. Nope, Thor's throw is size locked. We discussed this last time. Malekith's throw, Spender. Hulk Spender.
Malekith.
And then the Smash card. Or no, the one that the two Hulks can play to...
Agents of Smash.
Agents of Smash, yes.
So... And I also found out Red Fury.
Oh, wait. Yeah, it totally does, doesn't it? Oh, my gosh, Bucky. Yeah, what a disgusting character.
Yeah, I guess I guess Iron Man can push him, too. So,
sure.
But the idea is you stick them on a point, and they just stay there forever. Mm-hmm. So what you want are high-scoring scenario pieces that are really, like, centralized, and you can just stick two Sentinels on, like, the center point. Well, and so if you read the scenario measurement article I just did, you'll mm-hmm. notice that a huge base with a range 3 attack can stand on the furthest point of an E and completely cover another E. Another E is contestation area.
And just for everybody listening, E is the spread central ones, right?
No, E is
the... Oh, is the straight down the middle one, yes.
Yeah, Demons Downtown and Gamma Wave and Research Station.
Right.
Montessi, but that's an extract. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, so I really want to play E's with them. I really want to play Gamma Wave and Research Station. I'm like, wait, I already have two Criminal Syndicate characters in here.
Right.
So I also put Kingpin and Black Cat in.
Well, that's fair. They're good.
And then my last slot. Oh, and then I have a Royal Decree spot. So it's either Medusa or Nick Fury Sr.
I feel like it's got to be Nick Fury Sr. now.
So I'm considering Medusa because she moves people around and they're a scenario team.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 4 points, which is actually really important. It's kind of hard to hit 18.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
19.
Okay.
All right. So I was just, yeah. And then last one was I have Luke Cage, considering Red Guardian, one of those two.
Mm-hmm. Somebody so that has a bodyguard type card.
Exactly. So that's what I was starting with. And like I said, I want to play all these central scenarios. And so I'll talk about the rest of the list later. But let's just kind of talk about how the game kind of plays out.
Mm-hmm.
So I played twice on Gamma Wave and once on Research Station.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of hard to describe how good Sentinels are in those.
Yeah. I mean, so we're kind of expecting them to be just baseline because size 5 is really strong.
Yeah. So the way the game goes is on the first turn, your two Sentinels go and cover the center point. If you want to get really cute, you can put your third Sentinel, and if they're all touching on the point, you literally can't contest it.
But that is cute.
That never happened. So you have the two normal Sentinels sitting on the center point, and then they'll have someone come up and try and contest, and so you have Sentinel Prime walk to the front of the back point, mm-hmm. make an attack, and then pull them off.
Mm.
So they usually need to have three people contesting in order to just tie you on the middle point.
Right, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, it's really difficult. And then from that point on, the Sentinels will never make another move action.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way it kind of turns out is that you have two Sentinels with 4 power each on the center point. And so they'll activate, they'll spend 3 power on their builder. They'll make a 7-die energy builder, which is a Malekith attack.
Yes.
With Shuri rerolls from Prime backing them up because they're all within range of it.
Right.
And they'll usually do a couple points of damage, which they can use to fuel their next builder, which usually does a couple points of damage, which they can use to pull someone off a point, whether it's the back point or the one that they're standing on, and pull them through them.
Right. Because quick, we got to clarify this. When you do a pull, or sorry, a push, you can push through the character that is doing the push.
Yep, same with a throw. You ignore the model doing the push or the pull.
Which is important, because otherwise this would not work very well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why pulls are so good for getting people off of points.
Because
if you're both standing on the point, you just pull them right through you.
Yep. Okay.
So yeah, you kind of just end up, you know, they will never move again, and they just make 2 7-die energy attacks every single turn because the normal Sentinels are covering the middle point and your opponent's point, and prime is covering your point and the middle point.
Right.
And they just have so much power. Because
which is interesting, because like turn, we were concerned that they wouldn't have enough, right? That was our like initial like, well, do they have enough power to do the things they want to do? And so you're saying the answer to that question is yes.
Oh my god, yes. So like I said, they usually start turn two with four power.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they get attacked. And they take a lot of damage. That's just their defenses are not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what happens when you take a bunch of damage? You get a ton of power.
Right.
And so it's very common for them, especially if you use a bunch of rerolls, for the normal sentinels to be have to get like four or five damage on a turn. And so then they end up with like eight or nine power. And so that means they have enough to do everything they want, even if they don't do any damage.
Right. Which is a fantastic place to be.
Yes. And it also means that the other one can patch them up with their four power.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point.
That's really the key to how sentinels work, is they just have so much power that they can, like they have so much power and so much HP that it's like, okay, all right, just two left. Patch up. Damn it. All right, I did three more damage. We're almost there. Okay, hood heals them.
Yep. Yeah, and I was going to say, so like your other characters at this point are running around picking things up and healing your own things?
Yep, that's exactly it.
Hmm. That sounds so obnoxious.
Well, and you just do so much damage. Like it's exactly like Web Warriors, where it's like, aha, this is a scenario team. I can put my fragile characters in, and they're like, yeah, six die with a throw.
Mm-hmm.
With a throw. It's like, what is happening here?
Right.
Except the Web Warriors don't have enough power to keep doing that, or it's like locked to once per turn.
Right.
Whereas Sentinels are just easily doing over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our huge concerns is that the backside, the injured side of the normal Sentinels is god awful.
Correct.
But
mm-hmm.
it's actually not a problem.
How come?
So remember, at the end of turn one, if they aren't damaged, they're going to have four power.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they get dazed.
Okay, so they're on 10 power.
So they're on 10 power. Well, the problem with their injured side is that the builder is terrible. It doesn't give you power. It does more damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if, just hypothetically, you had 10 power and you just went spender, spender, pull, gain a power back?
I see.
And yes, obviously if you get dazed on round one or two, it's really bad.
Right.
But usually they have enough HP and enough defensive rules from the rerolls and patch up and all that they make it to like turn three or so before they get dazed.
Right.
And honestly, the 10 power you get from getting dazed is kind of enough to just last until the end of the game.
That's really interesting. I don't think we've ever had an affiliation that kind of is just going to pace themselves in that particular way.
Yeah, it's really strange. Because they gain power after their activation ends.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a bunch of power in your turn, and then you end up with a lot. So no, like, even if you spend down to zero, they'll end up with two power at the end of their activation, and then they'll get seven more power from getting dazed.
Right. And
so they'll get nine.
It turns out that actually in this situation, perhaps getting power at the end of your activation is better than at the beginning, because you're kind of guaranteed to stock up for next turn anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, it is a huge problem that your builder sucks on the injured side, but it actually doesn't matter, because usually they're only going to last like a turn or two after they get injured, because again, their defenses are low, you're getting towards the end of the game, they only have 6 HP on their backside.
Right.
But just throwing out 2 8 dice physical attacks and then a pull, like that's totally worth a 4-thread activation.
Right. I mean, that's better output than most dedicated puncher 5-threats get to make.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Like, I'm thinking about it, like, Thor doesn't get to do that.
Oh, no way. And again, it's because you're playing them on scenarios where they never want to move, and they can't be moved by your opponent in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Like,
they just sit there, and they make their 7 or 8 dice attacks every single turn. Twice a turn.
That is actually, like, so cool too from like a theme perspective, because that's kind of how they work in the comics. They just kind of sit there and attack you.
They just stand behind a building and like put their arms out, right?
Mm-hmm.
yeah
or they like smash through the building and smack you. But
oh, I'm so glad you said that. So speaking of,
mm-hmm.
this is another thing that I saw on the table that I did not see in theory.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot overstate how powerful it is to have 3 different people who can play Smash.
So I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So ever since we started playing Dormammu, we've known that Smash is just a really good card, even with only 2 attacks, mm-hmm. because it gets rid of a piece of terrain, which a lot of these big characters are weak to, and just adds a bunch of dice, which brings you over the defense curve, which turns into a lot of damage. It can explode into a ridiculous amount of damage,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of find out that, like, it kind of telegraphs, right? What's like, well, yes, your giant character is standing next to this big T's train. Let me go fix that. And, like, Hulk mm-hmm. runs up and throws the train at them so they can't smash it.
Mm-hmm.
With Sentinels, you place each of them next to a piece of big terrain. And it's like, what's your plan here?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can stop one of them, and the other two still do it. So you almost always get a perfect smash turn.
That's crazy. And that's just like another gigantic spike in their already pretty significant damage output, it sounds like, right?
Yes. Well, and it's another reason why they end up with so much power, because you're going to be using it on their 3-cost builder.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting.
So, yeah, they end up taking a bunch of damage, and then you're like, okay, smash, 3-cost builder. Oh, look, I'm at full power now.
Right.
Whoops.
Yeah. That's really cool. I like that a lot. Hmm. So, what did you play into, and what kind of worked well into them then from what your opponents did?
So I played into, so are you saying what are Sentinels bad against?
Yeah. I mean, we know it's Malekith, so we're going to skip that for a sec.
Yeah. So I played a game on Terrigen Mist,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a good scenario for them.
Well, it's 20 threat, so that's pretty good already, right? And then they're immune to the poison, which is very good.
And they, even if they weren't immune to the poison, I don't care if they don't get a power up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another high value point where you can just put 3 Sentinels on it.
Right. That makes total sense.
The problem was that I split my Sentinels. So I sent Prime to one, and I sent Bucky and the other Sentinel to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ended up playing on 14 points because I was trying to prevent Hulk things from happening.
Reasonable.
But Hulk things happened. And so Hulk. So the problem with Terrigen Mist is that Sentinels can't redeploy.
Right. They don't have any card that lets them. They're really slow.
Yep. Yeah. They will never get from one point to the other. So whichever point they deploy next to, that's where they're going to be the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's fine if you have to spend like one movement every other turn or so to catch up to the Terrigen Mist if it gets placed away from you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fine if you have to spend like 2 full turns walking to the other one.
Right. That
so
seems bad.
So I think you still play Terrigen. I think you just need to put all of your Sentinels on one of them and then just like your 2 threat, like just bothering them on the other one.
Right. That makes sense.
I also think it's critically important to play Bullseye specifically.
How come?
So Sentinels don't make a ton of attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are very often going to leave a character on 1 health.
Mm.
So you need Bullseye to clean that up.
Yeah, because Bullseye can just use a superpower to do a damage if he didn't do any.
He, in fact, never misses.
Indeed. Okay.
I'm not sure if Hulk in general was a problem. Mm-hmm. He was definitely a problem in that game because at 14 points and having split my team like I did, it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a spender that can chuck the Sentinels at each other, right? And
or in this case, at Winter Soldier and just kill him.
Right, and even if they're, you know, 4 physical defense, they're 6 damage each coming at you, so the average there's going to be like 3.5 or 4 per throw.
And they're 3 physical defense.
Oh, they're 3 physical. Oh, it's Prime that's the 4, right?
Nope.
No, is he still
3, 4, 4?
Okay. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, I got that backwards. Yeah, so it's more like 4-ish damage per throw. Yeah.
Yes.
Yikes.
So Hulk might be a problem. It might be okay because 3 Sentinels can probably kill Hulk in a 1 turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, or at very worst, he'll daze 1 or 2 of them and then they'll kill him.
Yes. As long as it all lines up. You do 100% have to take Brace for Impact. It is not optional.
Yeah. That's kind of sad, but yeah.
Even still, I think Magneto just walks all over them.
That's probably true, too. Just because...
Yeah, especially since he can move them. If he doesn't feel like killing them.
Right. And then, of course, Malekith is just the apocalypse for them, basically.
Yeah, even if they were good into Malekith, he would still like walk all over them. That's just what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're these big juicy targets that he will just go, hi.
Yeah. Speaking of which, definitely get Recalibration Matrix.
That's fair.
So when they spike, you can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Fun thing that we didn't realize on our original read through. The wording on the Sentinel, like cannot be pushed by superpowers thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is slightly different than Juggernaut's.
Okay.
They cannot be advanced or pushed by mystic attacks or superpowers. Juggernaut says this character cannot be advanced or pushed by enemy mystic attacks or enemy superpowers.
Oh. So you can't push them with your own superpowers?
Correct. You cannot, like, if you take Ghost Spider, she can't lifesaver them.
That stinks.
You can do it with cards still. So the shield Sentinel list is still alive.
Okay, well, fair. But all right,
Sky and Sentinel is very funny.
Yeah, I mean, I and the Sky with Sentinel is just real good. Speaking of which, did you get a chance to test them as a splash at all? Because that's one of the things that we were really curious about.
So I did not test them as a splash, but. They have to be good. I think, so anyone that's playing Juggernaut right now is going to be replacing one of them, or Juggernaut with one of the Sentinels.
You think so?
Whether you shell out for the 5.1 or you try and cheap out and get the 4.1, because I personally think the 4.1s are really good, far underrated right now.
Okay.
And then I think they're also going to just show up in a lot more places. And I think that's going to be a big problem for Web Warriors.
Right. Yeah, we kind of had that idea last time we talked about Sentinels. And I just can't help but think that's more so the more you talk about it, because they're just not going to be able to do anything against that, right?
Yeah, they have to go in and fight Sentinels, which is the worst thing.
Yeah.
If they get a super live extract, maybe they do some steals and runs. But if it's on like Gamma Wave or Research, they're just done.
Right, because the Secure is fast enough to keep up with the extract, no matter what the extract is. Because the fastest scoring extract is 5 per turn.
Yep.
And Research or Gamma Wave is 6.
In theory.
More likely to be 3. And then Research Station is, I can't remember Research Station's.
It's top 2 end. Or 4.
2 or 4. Yeah, so still fast enough to keep parity while you kill webbies, especially because you can drag them in for no actions, which is a thing that they hate.
Yes, yeah. And they can't spider tracker because you're never making move actions.
Oh, that's gross.
So one thing I really want to emphasize is that Sentinels are a scenario team. Do not be confused by the fact that they're throwing out a bunch of 7 die energy attacks and doing a bunch of damage. So one of the games I played, my opponent didn't realize that, And so it worked out that all the characters near his back gamma had already activated. So I had one of the Sentinels on my middle point pull his one guy contesting off and just double walk and grab the back point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the Sentinel player should be looking for that all the time, where it's like, yes, 99% of the time you shouldn't be making any move actions, but that 1%, like, your opponent's not thinking about it either.
Right, and the game probably ends at that moment, or very close to it.
Very close to.
Nice, that seems really good.
Yeah, so I think they're kind of going to end up like, so as an affiliation,
mm-hmm.
I think they're going to end up like, so okay, so in my current shield list, I have Web Warriors in case the stars align and you just get a scenario that's really, really good for Web Warriors and they just get a free win.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Sentinel affiliation is just going to do that, where it's like, oh, you landed on Gamma or you landed on a research station. Let's not even play this game. Like, the Sentinels are just going to crush it. And so they're going to be a really strong splash affiliation.
Right, because they only need 2 or 3 slots. They like a lot of the characters that get splashed for other affiliations anyway, like Winter Soldier,
Bullseye
Hood.
Yep.
So you're
not going to play them every game. There's a lot of scenarios they really hate. But, like, in the scenarios they're good in, they are extremely good.
Interesting. Okay. Overall, are you more excited for them now than you were when we talked about them just off the previews?
100%.
Yeah?
Which is saying something, because I was excited based on the previews.
That's true. You were pretty hyped.
But yeah, I was worried that the non-prime ones were just going to be bad. That's true. Drastically outperformed my expectations.
That's really cool. I love it when the design team is just like, no, we got this. You don't understand this game. Check this out.
Yeah, it's nice to be wrong.
Yeah.
I would also like to point out that between their two boxes, they are coming with 5 tactics cards.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, we're going to go into a bit of an odd thing for us. I would like you to like wish list 2 affiliated tactics cards that you think would be fantastic for them.
Okay, that's great. I've been wish listing these tactics cards all week. So the first thing is the Sentinel leadership is fucking awful.
Okay.
Like, I cannot describe. Like, first off, it's just a bad copy of First the Black Order, which did not come out that long ago.
Right.
Second off, I would argue it's worse.
Okay.
There's a lot of pluses and minuses between the two, but First the Black Order is not a good leadership to start with, and it's arguably as bad.
Okay.
And why do I care about power and affiliation where most of the time my characters are capped on power?
Okay. That's a reasonable contention that you could make. Yep. So tactics cards. So
first card, it's a leadership card in the style of Convocation.
Oh.
Because so Master Mold, which is referenced in the non-prime ones. Master Mold is a special Sentinel. It's basically a Sentinel factory. And the whole reason they made it is so that it can adapt and build specialized Sentinels on the fly.
Okay.
So I want a Master Mold card that has a leadership on each side, and at the beginning of the game, you pick one of them to play, and it replaces your normal leadership.
That would be insanely cool. I also just don't see that happening.
Oh, of course not. But I also want them to have something that's anti-mutant, so I think it should be like, while you're within range 3 of a Sentinel, you lose healing factor, or you can't heal healing factor.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay, yeah, Wolverine does not like.
Yep.
At all.
Well, and X-23 is horrible for Sentinels, so they need that.
Fair enough.
And then, I don't know what the other side would be, but that's wishlist number 1. And then wishlist number 2 is, I just want an Asteroid M.
I was going to say, like, a teleporter, right?
Oh, actually, that's something I think could happen. So let me wishlist more grandiose.
Okay.
I want another Master Mold card.
Oh gosh.
Which is when a sentinel dies, spend, you know, 8 power or whatever, and then deploy a new sentinel at the back of your...
So like mini Age of Ultron?
Well, yeah, except it's like calling in reinforcements.
Right. Okay.
It's like you're building another one on the spot.
That would be sick, and also will never happen.
That one could happen.
I'd be surprised. All right. What is a card? What are a couple cards that you think they might print that you would like to see?
I think a version of the parachute card that they just print for Fury Senior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe like, kind of like a first class. Like you have to play early. Yeah, like you play in the power phase, and a sentinel just moves along.
That'd be pretty cool. Like rocket boots or something.
Well, I see it as like you play it on the first turn, and instead of walking on the table, they get dropped in because they fly.
They can sometimes, yeah. It's confusing. Sometimes they do and sometimes they can't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that could be really cool. Some kind of maneuverability card, especially now, like the loss of climbing gear really hurts these guys.
And tactical reposition analysis? I don't remember.
Yeah.
The movement one.
Okay. And
I also want, I think, some way to capture a character. So, like, play this card, choose a character within range 2. If it ever leaves range 2, place it back within range 2.
Yikes, that would be... Right? Yeah, that's true. They do kind of do that.
They capture people. That's the whole point.
That would be really, really, really strong. It would have to be, like, the first time that character moves outside of range 2.
Can't make movement actions.
Yeah, that would also be very, very, very strong.
Yeah, I just want them to kidnap someone.
What about something like Highway to Hell, where if they start a move, they can spend a power and drag somebody with them?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Someone a lower, smaller size.
Mm-hmm. Which is most of the game. Yeah, I mean, that seems like a much more printable card to me, and also kind of gets that vibe across where they just drag somebody. It'd be even cooler if, like, they dragged somebody and they inflicted a condition or something. That'd be sick.
Go to hell. Journey through Limbo.
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay, here's the version I want to see of that card.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, choose a character within range 2, make advance. After you're done, place them next to you. I don't want it to say friendly or enemy.
Oh, that would be really strong.
Like, you can either have a friend hop on your shoulder and come with you, or you can pick someone up and drag them off.
I dig it. Yeah, that would be very cool. Yeah, I'm really curious what these tactic cards are going to look like, because they've been very quiet about them, and
yeah,
that's intriguing. We want to know what they do, especially if they are really good.
Oh, so there's 4 tokens coming with them, and I want to complain about the Fury Senior tokens. So we waited months and months and months, and I assume because of shipping issues, we didn't get any token cards.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally get our first new token card, and it's a normal-sized card, and it has 2 incinerates and a new flare token on it, and then, like, 70% dead space. And I'm like, great, thanks. Don't include anything with the Human Torch. You can set everyone in an aura on fire. And also, incinerates are the most precious token. They're only in like 3 boxes.
I thought Hex was like the most precious token. I have tons of incinerates. I just don't have any Hexes. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'll need to go check.
Maybe this was an old thing. But yeah, I didn't buy whatever Demons comes in. Ghost Rider.
So
maybe there's like 10 in there, but yeah,
there are quite a few in there.
It was just such an insult to see like all this blank space on the token sheet. Like, why? So I imagine the Sentinels would be one is going to be like 4 affiliation tokens. It's like, oh my god,
totally could be. Who knows?
Especially since their spender does 3 different.
Right. Yeah, you kind of need some conditions for these boys. Mm-hmm. Be bad if they didn't come with any. Hint, hint.
Well, we know the normal ones don't come with any tokens.
Right. But Prime does.
Or.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Alrighty. Is there anything else we need to cover about Sentinels, or does that about do it for this this week?
I think that's about it. I think we kind of mentioned that a lot of the big hitters in the meta, like literally like the people who do a bunch of damage in a single attack, are really bad for them. Mm-hmm. So they might, like I said, they might be a splash call, or like you need the meta to kind of shift a little bit before you can start seeing them. But they, like, when they work, they work.
Yeah. Oh, I have a wish list card, actually, speaking on that front. I'd like them to have, like, adaptive plating or something, and it's basically just Odin's Blessing.
Oh, sure. Or excessive healing.
Yeah, or excessive healing. That could be real cool.
Yes. Yeah, any more dice fixing would be awesome for them.
Yeah. All right. Well, very fun. I'm just listening to you talk about them, I'm very much like, ooh, I want to try this now. So,
and they're really easy to get into. You just buy two boxes.
Yep. And there you go. Also, I'm excited. Like, you played with proxies, but I want to see what these things look like on the board.
Have you seen, they showed some size comparisons.
Yeah, they're freaking huge. They're as big as the Supreme Guardian.
Yeah, the small normal prime, or more normal Sentinels, are bigger than Dormammu.
Right, who is, I think, still the tallest model in the game, or is that Hulkbuster now? It's one of those two.
I could look over to my left, but I'm not going to.
Fair enough. All right. Well, with that, we'd like to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon, because you guys are fantastic. You're who makes the website and the podcast and all of the articles that we've been putting out possible. So if you want to check that out, it's at patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. If you are part of the Patreon, or if you want to come hang out in a really cool place to talk about lots of games, our Discord is linked in the show notes for this podcast, and you can come hang out there and talk about all kinds of games at this point. Like, we have more than we don't. And
we have forums now.
And we have forums, yeah, which we're rolling out, probably will be rolled out fully by the time this is out, which will be very, very cool. So yeah, that's, I believe the short or the easy link is discord.gg/lineofsightwargaming, but there's also a link in the show notes. If you want to get a hold of us, you can message us on that Discord, or you can find us on our Facebook page, which is Line of Sight. It's just a podcast page. You can give that a like and see all the stuff we do. You can also message any of us individually on Discord, or you can send an email to admin@lineofsightwargaming.com. That'll get to probably me. And then you can, if you want to send something specifically to me, Chandler, or Brett, you can send an email to our first name at lineofsightwargaming.com, and that should get to us as well. I think that's all for this week. So until next time, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you later. Bye.